Okay, today's daf is Kiddushin Daf Tet. We're going to start at the very, very bottom of Chet Amud Bet, Hagu Gavra. Let's see a few interesting stories. It's an interesting start to our day. About men, women, we'll see. Okay, Refuah Shlema, Lidvar Batino, Zavram Shem Ben Chana, Carmela Ben Yima, Orli Pnei Bar Bacha, Frida Chaim, Alk Esther Bat Zipporah, Dani Abim Rim Chai Rut, Yosef Ben Mechele, Bar Rivka, Rafal Yeshua, Falak Ben Bracha Batya, Yael Mir Bat Chai, Rina Chai Bat Shoshana, Yaakov Ben Rosa, Tzvi Ben Melet, Tzvi Rachel, Atali Rachel Bat Tamar Sarah, and Livoy Nishma Chana Bat Rotar Reza Bat Zah. Okay, we're going to start with three stories that are all very similar and all have the same endings, and then we're going to ask a question about what if it were a little different. Hahu gavra dehava kamizaben chomre pitchiata. He was selling. There's a few different opinions. Rashi even says, I think he means porcelain, porilis, like these glass beads or some sort of beads that he strung on a string. Atai hahu itita. So it was a guy selling these kind of strands of beads. Maybe necklaces, they were apparently, Rashi says, they would put them around their necks to sell. I don't know if they were exactly necklaces or they hung them around their necks just for sale, for selling them. A woman came by. Amarle, havli chad shocha. Please give me one strand of beads. Amarla, I yihiv nalech, mikadeshetli. If I give you, will you marry me? Right? This sounds like the biggest pickup line, right? It's like, these men on the street who try to pick up women. Oh, if I give you this, will you marry me? Like he's trying to flirt with her. Amrale, hava miyahava. Okay, now this is a double lashon of give it to me. Okay? There's no real translation in English to the double lashon, but hava miyahava, give it to me, give it to me. In other words, it's like, please give it to me. Okay? Amarav chama, kol hava miyahava, lav klumhu. Okay, that clearly, anytime she says hava miyahava, that double lashon, clearly she didn't mean, yes, I want to marry you. She said, give it to me, right? No thanks about the marriage part. Okay, just give it to me, right? It's almost, that's how I think it would translate. Just give it to me, right? In other words, it's that extra thing. Hahu gavra dehava kashate chamra b'chanuta. Here was a guy, he was drinking wine in a store. Atayayi itita, a woman comes along. Amrle, havli chad kasa, please give me a cup of wine. Amrla, I yehiv nalach mikadeshetli. If I give this to you, will you marry me? Amrle, ashkuye eshkian. Again, that double lashon of, please just give me a drink. Amar Rav Chama, the same guy, kol ashkuye eshkian lav klumhu. Okay, if you say that, it doesn't mean anything. Third story. You have to wonder why they're giving you all these stories, right? One is relating to an object, one is relating to wine, okay, which always has a little bit more of a, let's say, for example, in all the harchakot between men and women, there's things about her pouring the cup of wine for him. And there's always a little bit of more sexual, or at least it could lead to, right? Yein nesach, that's what, well, the truth is, yein nesach also has another issue, but it's on the list of things that could lead to marriage. Next story. Hahu gavra dehava kashade tamre midikla. Now you have food, okay? He was picking dates from a tree. They're also, the situation is different. One is the guy selling it, the other is the guy's drinking wine, and the other guy is actually just picking dates off a tree. It's also different scenarios. What you make of the differences, I don't know 100%, but food for thought. He was picking dates from a tree. Ata hi itita, a woman comes by. Amarle shadi li tarte, please give me two. Amarla ishadina lach mikadeshetli, if I give you them, will you marry me? Amarle shadi mishada, just please give them to me. Amar Rav Zvid, kol shadi, now here it's somebody else talking, Amar Rav Zvid says, kol shadi mishadya lav klumhu. Okay, he says it in the same lashon. If you say that, it doesn't mean anything. Okay, meaning she didn't agree to the marriage, and therefore the marriage isn't good. Ibai lehu. So now they ask a question. Hav ashke vishade mahu. What if she said, hav, give it to me, with a single lashon? What if she said, ashke, give me a cup? What if she said, shade, give me a date? And she didn't use that double lashon, which we explained to mean, just give it to me. I'm a Ravina mikudeshet. Ravina says, if she says it like that, she would actually be married. Don't worry. We're not going to paskin that way. Rav Sama bara rakta amar, taga de malka, ena mikudeshet. Okay, here's a great response. He says, what are you, crazy? Okay, Taga de Malka means the crown of the king. What he's saying is, I swear on the crown of the king, you got to be out of your mind. This kind of scenario, the woman's, the woman asks the guy for something. He says, if I give you this, will you marry me? And she says, give it to me. She's mikudeshet? He says, no way, you're out of your mind. She's not married in this case. Okay? And then v'hilchata eina mekudeshet. Okay, and the halacha is she's not married. Okay, this doesn't work for marriage. That's how we paskin. We paskin against Ravina, who says she actually is married, but we don't paskin that she's married in this case. Okay, now you have to think, why did the other guy think she was married? You have to remember, when he says she's married, it could be, the whole issue always is, maybe she's an Eish Hadish, right? And we have to worry. Maybe she really is married. In other words, you have to be choshesh, that maybe there was an agreement among the on the part of the woman, and therefore, you know, we have to maybe view her l'chumra as married. Okay, but the other guy says, no, this scenario clearly doesn't mean the woman's married. Okay, it's interesting that they'll bring up the scenario. And it's interesting in light of the fact that, you know, there's that whole concept that we assume women always would rather be married, and yet, right, we're not assuming here that the woman would always rather be married. That in this kind of a scenario where the guy's trying to pick her up doesn't necessarily mean that she's agreeing and saying, yes, I want to be married. Okay, now that we're getting halacha here, we're going to go back and do a hilchata on a few of the things we saw previously, some from yesterday's daf that we didn't learn together, and some from before that. The hilchata, shirai lo tzricha shuma. Do you remember we had the whole thing about the clothes? If he marries her with these silk garments, does it need to be evaluated, what the value is? So we pass them like Rav Yosef. It's like Rav Yosef, right? He was the one who said it, that we don't, that it doesn't need to be evaluated. I can't remember now. For Yosef, I thought, said maybe it did need to be, right? Yeah, I think he said it did need to be. We paskin against Rabbi Yosef that it doesn't need to be evaluated. V'hilchata ki Rabbi Elazar, v'hilchata ki Rava Amar Rav Nachman. Okay, so what was Rabbi Elazar? This was from yesterday. He said, if you say hitkadshili b'mana zo, I'm sorry, hitkadshili b'mana, says marry me with this 100, and then he just gives her a dinar, 1 out of 100 of them. She's married at that point, meaning he can't be chozer bo and all sorts of other ramifications, but he has to finish giving her the 100, okay? In other words, it's more like, it's like saying almanah. I'm giving you the money, a bit of it now, but I'll give you the rest later. But they're already married at that point. That's Rabbi Elazar. And the halacha is like Rav Amar of Nachman, who said that mana income, mashkon income. What was that? If he gives her a mashkon, he says, listen, I don't have the money right now to put up for the marriage, but marry me with this much. In other words, I'm going to give you a collateral in place of it, and eventually I'll give you the money, and I'll take back my collateral. In that case, there's no kinyan, and therefore the marriage is not affected, according to Rav in the name of Rav Nachman, and therefore we actually paskin that way, is what the Gemara is telling us. Now there's a bit of asymmetry here. Before we move on, I just want to point out one thing. If you notice here, it says the first halacha, it doesn't say who we paskin like. It says we paskin that shirayim don't need shvei kesef. So Rabbeinu Tam says here, very interestingly, he says, if you can be medayik here, what did they say? He doesn't say we paskin like so-and-so. Because what he wants to tell you is specifically if it's shirayim, then it doesn't need evaluating. But if it were stones and things that fluctuate a lot in price, right? Try to buy a stone. You could buy it from someone for, you know, there's a wide range of values. Then a stone would be no good, basically. And based on that, he says very interestingly, okay, here, if you look at Tosfot, right where the lines get wide, okay, in the regular Gemara, in the Gemara part. So look right there on the same line in Tosfot. He says, "Aval shar dvarim kigon avanim tovot umargaliot sheyesh einam tovot ela me'at." In other words, what he says is a lot of these stones are bad quality. Urigilim litot baharbe yoter mishivuyam, and people mistake in their, you know, they mix, they don't really know their value properly. So he says, "Sricha shuma." Mishum de lo samchadata, because again, then she's not going to agree properly. She doesn't know what the value of what she's getting is. And therefore, he says an important part, important line, ulafichach nahagu ha'olam l'kadesh b'tabat she'ein ba'evin. Okay, and that's why we usually take a solid gold. We don't have stones on it. Because the stones, according to the way the psak is worded, makes Rabbeinu Tam think that it's only shirayim that wouldn't need it, because shirayim are pretty obvious what their value is. But when it comes to something that is hard to evaluate, like stones, you can't, and therefore he says that's why our rings are solid without stones on them. Okay, so that just leads us to one of those halachot that you're familiar with that comes from here. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Bishtar Ketzad. So that was all, right, all this was how to be Mekadesh B'Kesef. Now we're going to see how are you Mekadesh Bishtar. Katav lo al aniyar, o al acheres, af al pi she'en bo sheva pruta. Okay, now this whole thing with sheva pruta was only relevant if you're getting married with money. But if you're going to get married with a shtar, it doesn't matter. The shtar doesn't need to have a value to it. And then what do you write? Now, this is obviously going to be a case, we'll see, where the father's marrying off the daughter. So he writes, bitcha mekudeshet li, bitcha meureset li, bitcha li leintu. Okay, your daughter's mekudeshet to me, your daughter's meureset to me, your daughter is to me to be my wife. Harei zo mekudeshet. That works. Matkifla Rabbi Zera bar Mama. Okay, so first of all, if you notice here, it doesn't talk about whether it needs to have his name, her name. Does it need that like a get? Okay, so there's a whole, I think there's a machloket about it, if I remember correctly. Where did I see? There's a diyun about it. It doesn't come up here, whether it needs to have his name and her name and all that. It sounds like it could be. It's just enough if you say bitcha mekudeshet. So matkifla Rav Zeber bar Mama. Halo dami, hi shtar, the shtar's vine. How could you say, he's assuming that if you're writing a shtar, then the shtar has to be like a shtar mecher. Now in a shtar mecher, who writes the shtar? The guy who's selling it, right? And the guy who's buying it gets the shtar. Here it's the reverse. The guy who's selling is the father is selling off his daughter, and the guy who's acquiring her is the one who's actually writing the shtar. You see that it's all flipped. Okay, so that's what he doesn't understand. He says, Hata mocher kotev lo. There the seller writes, Sadi mechura lecha. Hacha, in this case, Baal kotev bitcha mekudeshet li. Okay, and here the husband writes, the husband writes, your daughter is mekudeshet li. So Amarava, Hata meinyana dekra, v'hacha meinyana dekra. Each one, in other words, don't think they all have to be the same. Each pasuk of Sharot has its own unique context. Hatam k'tiv, when it comes to buying and selling, what does it say? Umachar me'achuzato. And he sells from his property. So who's the main guy? B'mocher tala rachmana. Right? The subject of that sentence is the seller. Therefore, the seller writes the shtar. Hacha k'tiv ki yikach. Right? Ki yikach ish isha. Who's the subject of that sentence? B'baal tala rachmana. It's the husband. And therefore, here, that's what they do. So now they say, Hatam nami k'tiv sadot bekesef yiknu. There also, when it comes to a sale, what does it say? Sadot bekesef yiknu. Now, how could you read it? You could read it, karebe yikanu. It could be in the hifil, the reflexive. In other words, it happened, not the reflexive, the causative. You could read it as, sadot bekesef will be acquired by you. Okay? In other words, again, it could be like the yikach. She is taken, right? Then maybe also the field is taken, and then it would be the flip. So my time akari be yiknu, mishum diktiv umachar. So the reason why they say that you don't read it that way is because it says umachar, because he sells. So therefore it's the seller who it's talking about. In other words, since you have one pasuk like that and one pasuk like that, so you're going to learn it from the machar. But now they're going to say hachanami, kari be ki yikach, diktiv ki, sorry. Also, by us, you could read it, if you're going to say there, we don't read it ki yikanu, and we read it as ki yiknu, because machar is the subject. Also, by the woman, there's a subject of the father selling the daughter. Okay, and therefore, they're going to say, maybe it shouldn't be ish ki yikach, but, right, it's ki yukach isha. In other words, then again, she becomes the subject when she is taken. So why don't you read it as ki yukach? Dechtiv, et biti natati la'ish hazeh. You remember this? This is with the Mosi Shemra. He says, my daughter I gave to this man, which seems to indicate what they're basically saying here with a lot of confusing, you know, dikduk stuff. What they're trying to say is, just like there, you could also say there's a pasuk which talks about the father selling off the daughter. So you could say, really, he's supposed to be the one writing the shtar. Ela amarava, hilchata ninu vasmachina rabbanan akrai. And what I want to say is also, the whole point, the whole proof was that we're learning this from the way the pasuk, the heksher of the pasuk. So he basically knocks it down and says, but the heksher of the pasukim could be otherwise. You could say them that the yikhu is yikachu, and that when the, right, which by the way, they play around with the kriuch tiv a lot. And with the husband, you do see that the father sells off the daughter. So the psukim don't prove it. So Rava says it's not from the psukim. It's really the halacha. In other words, it was passed down to us, but asmachinu rabbanan akrai. In other words, the rabbis connected it with those main psukim. But yeah, of course you could contradict the psukim and say there's other psukim. Okay, but it's really that they knew the halacha and just connected it to those psukim, so you remember it. V'ibaytema hatamnami k'tiv. There's another pasuk there where it says ve'ekachat sefer hamakneh. And what's the sefer hamakneh? That he's makneh to someone else. He sells it to somebody else. Ba'amarav amarav Nachman katav lo alan yar o alacheres af al pi she'en bo shevapruta. Okay, now we're going to see another halacha about this. Even if it doesn't have a shevapruta, bitcha mekudeshetli, bitcha meureseli, bitcha li leintu, bein al yidei aviha, bein al yidei atzma mekudeshet. Mekudeshet mekudeshet midato. Why is this midato? Right.
With the consent of her father.
She's mekudeshet with the consent of her father. Vehu shelo bagra. This is all under the condition as when he write bitcha meuresetli. Okay, so if the father accepts it, right, or even if he says, 1 second, right, whether she accepted the shtar or the father accepted the shtar, as long as it was with his da'at, then it's a good marriage and or a good betrothal, and that's as long as she's not a bogeret. But now what if she's a bogeret? Katavla ala niyar ala cheres, afa pishen bo sheva pruta, harat at mekudeshetli. Now we're going to see once she's a bogeret, then it can't say bitcha mekudeshetli anymore. That's only, remember, what before she's a bogeret, the father has rights to marry her. But once she's a bogeret, he has no rights, and therefore it has to say harat mekudeshetli, harat lili intu, harat muresetli, mekudeshet. Ben al yidei aviha, ben al yidei atzma, mi da'ata. Okay, whether the father accepts on her behalf or she accepts it, as long as it's with her knowledge and consent, v'hu shebagra. And that's all if she's a bogeret. By Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, shtar erusin shekatvu shelo lishma mahu. Now we're going to again compare get to kiddushin. We want to know how similar is the shtar get and shtar kiddushin. If you recall, by the way, we made a comparison earlier, and we said, why don't we say kategora right, that we're going to learn from the prosecutor, right, from the get to the defendant to the kiddushin, and we said, oh no, they're two different shtarot. But despite the fact they're two different shtarot with two different, you know, the content's different, they're still going to try to compare them. And they're going to say, if you write a shtar erusin shelo lishma, does it need to be lishma like a get? That's basically the question. To have the same principles as get. Now, why would you think so? Because remember, we learned, ma havayot litziyot makshinan, right? Remember, we made a hekesh, v'yatzava haita, right? She goes out of the marriage and then goes and marries someone else. So we learned that what's true for divorce is true for marriage. So, makshina, ma yitziya b'inan lishma, just like a shtar get needs lishma, av havaya b'inan lishma, O dilma havayot lahada de makshinan. Ma havaya de kesef lo b'inan lishma, af havaya de shtar lo b'inan lishma. Or do we say no? More important to compare one type of marriage to another type of marriage, rather than comparing, right, they're really trying to get at is, what is this kiddushin b'shtar? Is it more similar to the other case where we have a shtar, to the get, where the get is getting out of the, right? First we compared it to shtar mecher. Right? We said, no, it's different than shtar mecher. Now we're comparing it to shtar get. Does it have to have the same thing as get? Or do we say no? Just like kiddushin bekesef doesn't need lishma, there's no context of lishma there. Therefore, also, maybe the shtar kiddushin wouldn't need to be lishma. Batar debaya hadar pashta. After he asked the question, he answered it. Havayali yitziya makshina and amar kravi yatzava haita. So it does need to be lishma. Okay? It's still not clear whether it needs to have her name written on it. Okay? It just means it has to have been written with the dot of that woman. It doesn't necessarily mean that it needs to have her name written inside. Okay? That's still unclear from here. It's not, like I said, the Gemara doesn't talk about it. Itmar. Katvu lishma v'shalomi data. Now, what if you need lishma, okay, now we're going to compare to get. Remember, get doesn't need the dot of the woman. The husband can write a get without her knowledge, right? As long as he gives it to her, he doesn't even need her knowledge later, right? Her consent later. But, right, she has to come into her hands, but he doesn't need her consent. If this shtar needs to be lishma, now does it have to be lishma according to the criteria of kiddushin? Meaning, if she needs to have da'at and consent, then when the shtar is written lishma, it has to be at that moment she has consent to the marriage. Or could he write the shtar without her knowing about it, bring it to her once it's ready, ask her to marry him, she consents, and then it's okay, because at this moment there's consent. Or does the consent have to be before the shtar is even written? Okay? So, this again is very much like Gittin, where it's a matter of what part of the process is important. Is the writing part important? Which once we say it's lishma, we do say there's some sort of importance to the writing part. It's not just take a tofes and, you know, use it. It has to be written properly. But does all everything have to be fulfilled? Because if we're going to learn it from Get, well, Get didn't need her dot, so maybe the star doesn't need her dot. So that's the question. Katvu lishma b'shalom idata. Brava v'ravina amre mikudeshet. Obviously, they mean that eventually she has dot when he gives her the star. She has consent, otherwise she clearly wouldn't be. But as long as it was written lishma, even though she didn't know about it, it's fine. Rav Papa v'Rav Shrevi Amre Eina Mekudeshet. Okay, they say this is no good. Has to have her consent from the beginning. Amre Papa, Eima Tama Di Tu V'Eima Tama Di Di. I'm going to give their reasoning, and I'm going to tell you my reasoning. Eima Tama Di Tu Dichti V'Yatza V'Haita Miki Shavaya L'Yitziya Ma Yitziya L'Shma V'Shalom Midata Af Havaya Nami L'Shma V'Shalom Midata. That's their reason. Very simple. We're going to compare it to Get, right? So therefore, just like Get needed Lishma, but didn't need to be with her consent, therefore also, when you write the Shtar Kiddushin, it doesn't need to be with her consent. Ve'ema tama didi, now I'm going to tell you my reasoning. V'yatza b'hayta, mekish havaya li'yitziya, ma yitziya b'ina da makne, af havaya b'ina da makne. I'm going to say that when you learn v'yatza b'hayta, what does it mean? The Yitziah needs the dad of the person who's selling her, basically, right? He's giving her back to herself. That's the husband. So now take the marriage. Who does it need? The dad of the one selling, which is the woman or the father. Okay, so therefore he's saying, I'm going to take that comparison. I agree with the comparison, but the comparison is going to lead me to the fact that she needs to be a part of it because the one who's doing the selling needs to have a say in the matter. Meitive. Now we're going to have a question here, a contradiction from a Braita. Ein kotvin. Okay, now this is going to be a contradiction on the first opinion. Rava and Ravinu says this works even without our consent. What does it say here? Meitive. Ein kotvin shtarei erusin b'nisuin ela midat shnehen. What does it sound like? You can't write shtarei erusin or shtarei nisuin unless you write it with the consent of both of them. So therefore, it sounds like it needs to be written with her consent. So my love, is this not talking about shtarei erusin v'nisuin mamash? Aren't we talking about, okay, so the assumption is that we've never heard of what's shtarei erusin and shtarei nisuin. So they're going to assume that what they mean is these shtarot that are a shtar kiddushin, basically. Okay? So now they say, no, that's not what it's talking about, and therefore it doesn't contradict that opinion. Because what does it mean? Here we're going to lead to another minhag that we do today. Shtarei psikta. Ukid Rav Gidol Amarav, De Amar Rav Gidol Amarav, Kama Atanotein Libincha, Kach Vekach, Libitcha, Kach Vekach, Amdu Vekidshu, Kanu, Hein Hein Hadvarim Haniknim Ba'amira. Okay, let's go backwards, forwards. Okay, we'll start from the end and then we'll go back. Rav Gidol says, okay, this is what we call now Tinaim. This is when we have a Shtar Tinaim. Now we don't exactly do it the same way they did then. It was today we do it more symbolically. But what they did was, the parents of the bride said, we're going to give this amount to the couple. And the parents of the groom said, we're going to give this amount to the couple. And what they said, what Rav Gidol was saying in the name of Rav, that this is niknet ba'amira. So if they get together and they say, I'm going to give this amount of money, and they say, I'm going to give this amount of money, and then they do the kiddushin right then and there, then whatever they said, they have to commit to, even if they didn't write it down. Okay, that's something that's niknim ba'amira. So now, what's he saying shtarei psikta are? Shtarei psikta is the shtar tanaim. Okay, we actually do a shtar, right? The people are in Israel, it's less known to do tanaim. But in America, they do a shtar tanaim. And it's basically, that's what the shtar is saying, what everybody's giving in. Nowadays, I don't think it really has amounts. I'm not sure what it has. I meant to look it up and get more details. But anyway, some sort of shtar. And that's what they're saying. That the shtar, erusin and nisuin, is the tanaim that goes along with the nisuin or the erusin. And that shtar needs both of them to consent to it. In other words, that can't be written. You can't write a shtar saying so-and-so, you know, this side will give that amount of money unless they actually said they were going to give it, which makes a lot of sense. Whereas a shtar kiddushin, again, according to one opinion, the opinion that disagrees with this of Rav and Ravina, will say a shtar erusin is not the same thing. It can be written by the husband without the consent of the woman. As long as when he gives it to her, she consents, that's fine. That's different from the shtar psikta. Okay. Ubibia. Now we get to Kiddushin Bibia. Minalan. Amar Rabbi Avahu. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, De Amarkra Be'ulat Baal. Okay, where do we learn Bia from? Now, this is very strange. We already learned Bia. Where do we learn Bia from? What? Ki kach ish isha ube'ala, right? The pasuk that's directly talking about marriage says, ki kach ish isha ube'ala. And the Kal V'chomer, right? We tried to, did we eventually learn it out from a Kal V'chomer? What? It could be both. The truth is, I forgot. Okay, so now. Of what? The previous sugya? Can you write it without her dot? So you have to look up halacha lamasa on it. You can see. So you can see there's a gimel next to Rav Papa Rav Shrevi's opinion. So that means we usually paskin like them. So meaning she's not married. Has to have her dot. Okay? That's probably the psak halacha.
But today they don't write ketubot. We don't write the ketubah like.
No, ketubah's not a shtar kiddushin. Ketubah's not a shtar kiddushin.
Oh, that's right. That's
right. A ketubah's something different. We don't marry with shtar anymore.
Okay.
So it's kind of a yeah. You could say, what is it, lahalacha? But lahalacha, we don't even marry with the shtar
ketubah.
Right. I'll remind you, okay? The shtar ketubah is very important.
Sorry.
It's fine. No. It's good. It's good to remember that. We need to review these things. A shtar ketubah is distinct from, it doesn't affect a marriage. It's just a shtar that goes alongside a marriage. It's the husband's commitments to the wife about the sherab, onah, and ksud, right? He has to give her all those three things. And it's his commitment, what monetary commitment he will give her in the event of divorce or death. And it's so much a part that it has to be there that even if he doesn't write it, she has those rights even without it, right? And that he would have to give her the ketubah money even without it. And again, it depends. It's matayim zuz if she's a betula. It's mezuz if she's beula already, if she's already, if she's not a virgin or she's already been married usually. That's the ketubah. It goes alongside the marriage, but it's not kind of like the tanaim. It's something that went along with marriage, but it's not affecting the marriage. And it doesn't cause the marriage to happen. If you just give a ketubah and you don't say Aram Mekudesh Ali B'tabadzu or with a, you know, with anything else, doesn't work. Okay? You'd have to say at some point Aram Mekudesh Ali and have some sort of kinyan. The ketubah is not a kinyan, although when he gives her the ketubah, she lifts it up also to acquire the ketubah. But that's not because she's getting married through that. Okay.
But you're using the word marriage loosely. Correct?
Yeah. So yes, I'm sorry. It's very hard for me to right. Always use the word betrothed. Right. It's betrothal.
Okay.
Right. I'm sorry that I interchange it. Yes, it's betrothal. Okay. The erusin.
So
and the nisuin is the marriage.
Any three of these things.
Right. She's not fully married by any of these three things. This right. All this is erusin. Okay. Kiddushin is erusin. It's the same thing as betrothal. It's betrothal. That's the technical word for it. Betrothal. Erusin kiddushin is all the same. It means the same thing. Erusin kiddushin. Okay. Nisuin is the chuppah. Okay, which we said is either yichud or it's going under a canopy or maybe even putting like something over their heads. Okay, that's chuppah. And with that, she's married to him. And there we do the brachot on.
Sheva
bracha. Brachat chatanim. That's what it's called. Sorry, I was trying. We learned about the brachat chatanim in ketubah. That's what you do at the marriage part. Okay. And again, they were separate. I was actually going to get to this. Maybe I'll already say it, which is I looked up the reason why they stopped doing it. Remember, they used to do it a year apart. That's how we started Masechet Ketubot, that there was this year. And then once the year ends and he hasn't married her yet, the clock starts ticking for the mizonot and he has to support her already. And then there was a whole question, what if it was his fault, her fault? You know, there was
Wednesday.
Right. If you recall, another thing we learned in Ketubot was that there was this whole concern that what if he finds Petach Patuach? He finds it, right? The assumption was she was a virgin when they got engaged. But then maybe he's concerned that she slept with someone in between the engagement and the nisuin. And to avoid those kind of situations, they eventually decided, and I didn't figure out at this point in which time period, but at a certain point in history, okay, the Gra talks about this in his notes on the Shulchan Aruch in Evan Ezer, Siman Nun Hei, it's Sif Katan Yud Aleph, he says that the reason why they stopped doing this was to prevent Petach Patuach Matzati, those claims. So that the Eris and Nisun would happen at the same time, and then there'd be no break in between, right? Nothing's happening under the chuppah with somebody else, right? We do it all under the chuppah. And that's why I've said this before, we split it with the reading of the ketubah just to have some time elapse between to show that these are two distinct ceremonies. Okay? And that's why they separated them. Okay?
I guess at some point you're going to explain why Bia is reasonable to do.
So I don't exactly know the reason. I tried to think about that, but I think, okay, my assumption is This is my assumption. What I think happens, and I'll correct myself if I'm wrong about this, but I'll say already at this point. My understanding of Bia al yedei kiddushin is that she's forbidden to basically move in and live with him. She has to be in her father's house, right, while the engagement period is going on after she's betrothed. But my assumption is that the act of Bia in order to marry her is allowed, but once that's done, then they can't have Bia until the marriage.
Wow.
In other words, it can be an act to affect it.
Didn't we have that whole concept where she's ushered
to everybody? She's ushered to everybody. It's true. But she's ushered... She's okay, so this is how I think it would work like this, okay?
It's like he's making his mark.
So first of all, you have to remember, okay? A woman starts out her life, okay? Before Kiddushin, okay? Here's the woman before Kiddushin. Before Kiddushin, she's mutar to anybody. So he can, in theory, sleep with her at that point, l'shem Kiddushin. That's allowed. But at the moment of Kiddushin is affected, and that could be with Bia, then she's now forbidden to him at this point. Okay? So in other words, he could forbid her by the act of sleeping with her. That's how I understand it right now. It could be I'm wrong. That's what I think.
We learn that as
no, her ketubah is written based on her status when she was before she was mekudeshet. So she's written up as a betula.
Didn't we learn this somewhere?
We've talked about it a lot.
Talked about how this worked exactly with the Bia, how he could marry her with Bia and then sleep with her.
Like he makes his mark, and then no one else can have it, including him. And then when he's
To it. And then with the nisuin, she's mutarda. Okay, then she's mutarda. Okay, so that's how I understand the Bia. That the Bia is allowed in the beginning because she can sleep with anybody in theory. That's how I...
So premarital sex with your betrothed is allowed.
What?
Premarital sex with your betrothed is not allowed. Premarital sex without betrothal is problematic. No, it's also problematic. But you have to read the Rambam. The Rambam says b'tchila, you know, the man would see the woman in the shuk and take her and sleep with her, and they'd be married. Like that would be, you know, the way they would do it. Like he would betroth her by, you know, just sleeping. Okay. Nowadays, people do that without getting married. But in other words, the idea is that if she's miyuchad to you and you're dedicating her l'shem kiddushin, that's allowed. Okay. Then, if you recall, okay, this is important to say. They said no more of this. They said we cannot be Mekadesh Bibia anymore because it looks like pritsut. In other words, they got rid of it exactly for this reason, because it seems ridiculous. Like, how could you do that? So, and it could lead to pritsut. You say, oh, premarital sex is a lot. But theoretically speaking, like Mikar Adin, that could work because he's saying you're mu'at. And what's the problem with premarital sex? You can't just sleep with anybody, but if you're dedicating her to you and this is the person you're going to marry. Right, exactly. That's Akdashah. She's miyuchad to me. But the moment after you do that, she becomes forbidden then, because that was the act of Kiddushin, which now forbids her to everybody until such time as you bring her under the chuppah. And then with Knisah l'chuppah and Nisuin, then she's mutar.
So he says, I am betrothed to you with this...
With this act of sex, yes.
And then
that's it. And then they separate for the year, and then... Right, but again, at a certain point... if she says it...
An act of kiddushin. Now Yikach makes sense when in Kamash when we see it's an act of marriage.
Right.
Through the Bia.
Right. Exactly.
It all makes sense.
Right. But Vayikach is connected to Bia in many places in the Torah.
I just knew that's what it meant. But
right.
It never made
sense. There's a whole diyun. I didn't go off on this either, but there's a whole diyun about whether Kiddushin B'Kesef is so clear-cut from the Torah or not, and whether Kiddushin B'Shtar is maybe more obvious and Kiddushin B'Bia is more obvious, and Kiddushin B'Kesef, does it really come from the Torah or not? There's a whole diyun about, is it Doraita, is it not Doraita, and, you know, but the Bia and Shtar is much more obvious from the Torah, which is interesting because in the end we do Kiddushin B'Kesef. There are opinions that say it's Midoraita. Anyway, there's a whole tangent on there. I'm not going to go off on it, but yeah.
It also makes sense on a societal point of view because it probably kept people from having sex lightly. Because once you did this Bia, you're kind of stuck.
Right, so it's true. If you did this Bia, then you're right. Although you could do Bia Lolashem Kiddushin. No, but you could also do Bia Lolashem Kiddushin. I mean, that's, you know, that's what they call Znut. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah, but that was frowned upon.
Right, it was frowned upon. Right.
For women.
Right. For men, there was no pogam if you did it.
Well, Rav Kuna was making the comparison of Chuppah as one of the other things.
Yeah.
For Kiddushin. So according to him, you have two Chuppahs.
No, so according to him, you would just do chuppah, and that would affect your kiddushin and your nisuin. Yeah, that would be a way to acquire. That was his whole chiddush, that you didn't need a separate act of kiddushin. That's how I understood it. I don't think you need two things. And like the chuppah itself could affect kiddushin and nisuin. And then you'd have to say, right, how would that work exactly?
Right.
Because...
I wonder if he would add it to it.
Right, if maybe... You, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't look enough about it. Okay, let's move on. Ubebiya. Minalan. So where do we learn bia from? Amar Rabbi Abaw, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Damar Kra, Be'ulat Ba'al. Okay, this is... Okay, look in Dvarim Kafbet, Kafbet, if you have the Torah or on the side. Ki matzei ish shochev misha be'ulat ba'al. Right? If a man sleeps with a woman who is... Be'ulat Baal, she's a married woman. Umeitu gam shnehem, aisha shochev maisha, vaisha, ubiyar tara miyisrael. Right? This is adultery. What do they call her? A be'ulat Baal. Okay, so why do they call her be'ulat Baal? Come to Rabbi Yochanan and say, ah, here you learn bia. So now, okay, melamed shenasa la Baal al yidei be'ila. Be'ulat Baal comes to teach you, he became her husband through the be'ila. Amale Rabbi Zera, the Rabbi Avau. Either Rabbi Zera said to Rabbi Avau, because Rabbi Avau passed this down there of Rabbi Yochanan, or Rish Lakish directly said to Rabbi Yochanan, what, was it such a bad thing that Rabbi said that Ki Kach Ishi Shah Ubaala was the source for it? In other words, why are you bringing this Uba'ula Baal Pasuk? Was Rebbe's proof, right? Rebbe was a Tana. Was that not a better proof? In other words, what was wrong with, right? It's a very disrespectful way of saying it, right? Ku'urazo, was this disgusting or ugly, what Rebbe said, that Uba'ala Malamet and Knepe Bianas? Why didn't you learn it from there? That's going to be the whole question here. So now we're going to have a whole diyun, okay? What's interesting is usually we have two Tanaim or two Amora'im or different Psukim. Now we have Rabbi Yochanan, who learns it from Ube'ulat Baal, and we have Rebbe, okay, again, Tana against an Amora, Rebbe who learns it from Uba'ala. So we're going to have all diyun, you know, again, we're going to have, why did Rabbi Yochanan learn it from Uba'ala, and then what did Rebbe do with Ube'ulat Baal? We're going to have one of those ping pongs back and forth. So, Imehatam, if we would have learned it from there, Hava Amina Ad Mekadesh V'Hadar Ba'ya, Kamashmalan. You might have thought, ki kach ish isha uba'ala, sounds like there's two stages. First he has to do kiddushin, then he has to do bia. It sounds like maybe first he has to acquire her with money or with a shtar, right? And then do the bia. Or really they think, right now they think bekesef, okay? Matkif is that maybe he has to buy her with money, and then he can sleep with her. Matkif la rabbi abba bar mama, im kain, nara morasada amar rahmana beskila hechi mishkachala. If that's the case, that you thought that you need kiddushin and bia, how could you ever have a nara murasa case? Why? Ida akdish v'hadra ba'al, then she's ba'ula. What's with the nara murasa? She's a woman who's never had sex before. She's a virgin. Okay, the nara murasa, if you sleep with the nara murasa, remember that's, this guy goes and sleeps with the nara murasa, he gets death, right? She gets death also unless she was raped by him, and then she doesn't get killed. But what's going to be the case? So Ida Akdish, right? So if he had, let's say, married her with Kesef and then slept with her, she'd be a Ba'ula, she's not a Naram or a Sa. And Ida Akdish below Baal, right? Then what did we just say? What was your Havamina? That if he did just Kiddushin be Kesef and he didn't sleep with her, then she wouldn't even be engaged. So then love Kalumu. Therefore, Amaru Rabbanan Kameta Abaye, no, I could give you a case still. Mishkachala Kigon Shabaaleha Arush Shelo Kidarka. He could have slept with her by having anal sex, okay, right? Which is not going to prevent her from, she'll still be a virgin, but you could do kiddushin shelo kedarka in that way. Amar li Abaye, okay, now he's going to continue to say, so this is the rabbi said before Abaye to answer the question. But then Abaye says, al kan lo pligi v'revi rabbanan ela be'acher, aval be'bal divrei akol im ba'ala shelo kedarka asa'a be'ula. Now they're going to say no. Rebbe and Rabbanan have a whole machloket of a bia shelo kedarka, we're going to see in a minute. But even within in their machloket, that's only about bia shelo kedarka. The whole machloket they have is bia shelo kedarka, if you have someone sleeps with you, bia shelo kedarka, does that mean that you're not a virgin anymore? But their whole machloket is only with regards to someone else sleeping with her. But if the husband were to marry her through this type of kiddushin, right, through bia shelo kedarka, everyone would agree that she's called a ba'ula, because the whole thing was that he was having sex with her for the sake of getting married. So therefore, again, you'd be stuck with there'd be no nara murasa case. So now we have to just go and understand this machloket between them. Maihi, what's the machloket? Titania, okay, very unpleasant, Brita. Ba'u aleha asara anashim, va'adayin hi betula. Okay, 10 men sleep with her, and she's still a betula. Kulam beskila. Okay, meaning 10 slept, right, 10 had right, raped her through anal sex. Okay, and therefore she's still a betula. So now, remember, what's the difference if you're a betula or you're not a betula? The punishment is going to be skila if you're a betula. If you're not a betula, you're an eshadish, not a betula, you get chenek. Remember, chenek is a less harsh punishment. So now, what happens to these 10 men? So, kulam beskila, according to the first opinion. Why? Because she's not considered a be'ula by Bia Shalokadarka. Rebbe Omer ani harishon beskila v'kulam b'chenek. Rebbe thinks that she's already considered not a betula anymore. So only the first one gets skila, the rest get chenek. But again, why did we bring this? To say, this whole machloket was only about someone else though. When it comes to the husband, if he does kiddushin, she's definitely considered a be'ula. So therefore, again, we're going to have this question, how could you have a case of a nara murasa if you assume that the whole havamina that we had before, this is why you had to learn it from not uba'ala, but from ubula ba'al, because uba'ala, you might have thought it could be kesef and then bia. And that would be the only way to do it. And if you say that that's the case, though, even if you say it would be bia shalokadarka, you could never have a case of a nara murasa. Because a nara murasa, either she had kesef and not bia, in which case she's not married at all, according to this. Or she had kesef and bia, even if it was shalokadarka, she'd be considered a ba'ula, and there'd be no nara murasa case. So therefore, we're left with a question. So they're going to answer it now. Amar of Nachum bar Yitzchak mishkachala. Here's the case. Kigon shekidsha b'shtar. That whole thing was only with kesef. If he marries her b'shtar, why would shtar be stronger than kesef? This is where I said also. Kesef is a little bit in a different category than the rest. Ho'il v'gomeru motzi, gomeru machnis. Because a get is sufficient, a shtar is sufficient to entirely remove her from marriage, therefore a shtar could be entirely shalem, right, to enter her into marriage. So the ki kach ishi shau ba'ala, remember we said the whole thing is kicha means bekesef, right? So the hava amina is to say, I didn't learn it from uba ala, because why didn't I learn it from uba ala? Because I would have thought that pasuk is talking about kesef, right? That you need either kesef with bia. Kesef without bia wouldn't work. Or an alternative way to get married would be bishtar without bia. And then you could have a case of nara morasa that was just bishtar without bia. Okay. So now, Rabbi Yochanan, hi uba'ala my abidle. So what does he do with the word uba'ala? Because in the end, that's not the case, right? She is nikne bibia by itself, or kesef by itself. Right? That was all just a havamina. Why couldn't have learned it from there? Hahu mibaile lezo nikne bibia. Ve'ein amai vriya nikne bibia. It comes to teach you that a woman is nikne bibia, but an amai vriya cannot be nikne bibia. Now, why would you have thought even that she would? Salkada tachamina, what might I have thought? Titi b'kavachomer miyavama. Ma'yivama she'ein nikne b'kesef. We saw this kavachomer before. Nikne bibia, right? Just like a yivama is not nikne b'kesef, but she is nikne bibia. So zosha nikne b'kesef, right? A woman, an amai vriya, ain't odin she nikne bibia. Okay, but then they say no, you can't learn this kavachomer because ma'yivama she'ein zikukava omedet. What do we know about a yivama? She's already integrally connected to the brother through her dead husband. Okay? So therefore, you can't have that havamina, so you can't say to teach you, this one's nikne b'biya, but not namavriya, because who would have thought namavriya is nikne b'biya? So now we're going to see why you would have thought, maybe despite that. There's another salkadata. Salkadata hamina ho'il v'katab im acherit yikachlo. That's what it says in the amavriya case. If he takes another one, he can't, right, he still has to give her the share of the ksuv and the onah, it says by an amayivriya. If he takes someone else in addition to her, then he still has to take care of her. This is, by the way, an amayivriya, right, when he marries her, or the son marries her. Okay? Then once that happens, even if he takes another wife, he still has to take care of her. So the pasuk says. So now what do you say? What might you have learned here? Hi kisha katuv l'acheret. Ma acher mikni abibia, af amayivriya mikni abibia. You might have thought, since it says, imacheret yikachlo, how does he marry the other one? He can marry her through bia. So therefore also, maybe the amayivriya, you can marry through bia, ka mashmalan. Okay, and therefore it needed to teach us that, therefore you needed Uba Alasa. We're going to end here for today. Rabbi Yochanan learns, Uba Ula Ba'al comes to teach you that in Isha's Nikne Pibi'ah. Okay, and then we had the whole thing, why didn't he learn it from Uba Alah? And then he said, because I might have thought from Uba Alah that you need Kesef En Bi'ah. And then we had a whole thing, why might you have thought that? Then we have to say, well, what does he learn from Uba Alah, Rabbi Yochanan? He learns from Uba Alah that a woman is Nikne Bibia, but an Amayavriya is not Nikne Bibia. And you might have thought she was because we have Imacher Ikachlo. You might have thought she's just like the Acheret. Comes to teach you, no. An Amayavriya needs to be Nikne Bikesef and not Bibia. Okay? So that's it for today. We'll continue with this back and forth tomorrow.